Praised be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
St. John, in the first reading, when he addresses, or with that address, chosen lady, is actually speaking to one of the churches, the early communities of Christians. And speaking to this community of Christians, he again emphasizes the need for charity, love between the disciples of our Lord. I'm not giving you a new commandment, he says, but the one we have had from the beginning, let us love one another. Now, practically speaking, love, like any other virtue, admits of degrees. There's the love of the beginners, the love of the proficient, and the love of the perfect. And for more on this, you can actually look into Father Tanqueray's book on the spiritual life. And from him, I take a few, just a few practical indications on how to practice this commandment of love for one another in the different stages of the spiritual life, as beginners, as those who are proficient, and even in the stage of perfection. So Father Tanqueray tells us that beginners focus chiefly on striving to avoid that which is contrary to the minimum requirements of charity and practicing those minimum requirements that are imposed by precept. So this entails avoiding certain things and doing certain things. So those who are beginners should avoid rash judgments and calumny. This is contrary to charity. Judging others rashly in thoughts and in words, and calumniating others, which is of course in word, this is against charity. Avoiding deliberate antipathy, meaning of deliberate dislikes, not just the feelings which come and go. Sometimes even the saints disliked one another by just a feeling, but it was never deliberate. So avoiding the deliberate dislikes, not fostering those dislikes. Avoiding bitter words and ridicule of our neighbor. Avoiding strife and verbal contention over pride. Avoiding rivalries and avoiding scandal. This is what beginners should focus on. Beginners should rather than strive to do the following. They should bear with one another, they should bear with their neighbor despite his faults, overlooking his faults and looking at the good in their neighbor. It's a very important habit to foster and to develop, to overlook our neighbor's faults and to get into the habit of seeing the good in him, not refusing charity because of the faults of our neighbor. Loving our neighbor, doing good to him despite his many faults, and forgiving injuries. So not paying back evil for evil, forgiving the evil done to us. That's just for beginners. Then souls advancing in the spiritual life should strive to draw unto themselves the dispositions of the hearts of Jesus and Mary. So now there's more of an imitation of the love of our Lord and our Lady. Now we move into that sphere of the novelty of the commandment. Love one another as I have loved you, our Lord says. So this is where the novelty lies. Love your neighbor, not just as yourself, but love your neighbor as I, Christ, have loved him. How did Christ love us? Well, his charity is prevenient, to use a fancy word. It means that our Lord loves us first, when we were still his enemies. So we, if we wish to make progress in charity, be proficient, we should do good without being required, so even when it's not commanded by precept, and without being asked. So do good just because it comes from you, from the charity, from the love of God within you, without being required, without being asked. Christ's charity also is compassionate. When he beholds the multitudes that followed him into the desert in danger of fainting from hunger, he multiplies the bread before they even ask, without them asking him. He feels their sorrow, their pain as his own. So this, too, is a requirement of proficiency in charity, trying to make others' feelings our own, trying to feel others' sufferings as our own. This is compassion. And Christ's charity is generous. He gives more than what is strictly required and asks for less than he is allowed to by law, so to speak. So this is that generosity, giving more than what is strictly required, demanding less than what we could demand. And perfect souls love their neighbor unto the immolation of self. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's neighbor. So perfect souls seek to do that, to deprive themselves so as to give to their neighbor. They look for opportunities to sacrifice themselves for their neighbor. So clearly do they see God in their neighbor. And across all these stages and degrees, there's the love of enemies, which our Lord commands us specifically. Love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that persecute and calumniate you. Thus we resemble him who makes his sun rise upon the good and the bad. So when St. John tells us, all of us, love one another, let us love one another, for this is love, that we walk according to the commandments, he exhorts us all to practice this supernatural virtue of Christian charity, which, again, admits of degrees, and though we have to start as beginners, we nevertheless should pray and strive to make progress. Start as beginners, become proficient, and then with the help of God's grace and his mercy, to become perfect in love. Praised be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.